Time for Tim Alcorn and Look at the Cavs, brought to you by Tuffy Auto Service Center on Cleveland Street in Elyria, on Broadway Lorraine, also on Route 58 in Amherst.
34-27, Cavs by 7, under a minute to go here in quarter number one. Love on the right side, steps back, shoots a three, good! And that three ball from Kevin Love puts him at number 2 on the all-time Cavalier list. He now has 803 three balls. Trailing only LeBron. Prince with 10 on the shot clock. Cavs by 6. Prince around a Cabangeli screen. Three ball missed. Rebound Wade. Wade in the lane to Okoro. Laid it up and in. And Isaac Okoro now has a new career high. 19 for Okoro. Timeout. New Orleans. Cavs by 8.
It was an exciting game, but we ended up coming up short to Tim against the Pelicans. Of course, Zion Williams in there. What's it like seeing him? Of course, you know, he was a highly touted player when it came for the draft, and we, you know, occasionally get to see him. How is he moving into his position right now?
Well, first of all, he is a massive human being. I mean, you don't really appreciate how big he is until you see him up close and personal, but he moves so well. That's the amazing thing. And he was the dominant force, especially in the fourth quarter on Sunday night. He was that go-to guy for New Orleans. The Cavs played hard. It was an entertaining game. I just think they ran out of gas in that fourth quarter. They were on a back-to-back, and they were shorthanded without Garland and Sexton. So it was funny. The number of points per quarter just kept going down for the Cavs. And by the fourth quarter, they were at 15 points in that final period. I just think they were a little bit, a little bit fatigued. So, but Zion Williamson, to answer your question, Bruce, he's elite. I mean, there's a reason he was the number one pick overall last year, and Stan Van Gundy without Ball in their lineup right now. Lonzo Ball is out. He has pretty much let Zion run the point. Now, you talk about a strange-looking thing happening because you've got Zion out there at about 280 pounds running your point forward position. But he moves well, he passes well, and it's working for the Pelicans.
Interesting. It's different. You know, Mark Price was referenced in this one highlight because of Kevin Love sort of passing him on the 3 points. And there was in the comments that Kevin Love said, well, it's a whole different game when Mark Price was shooting three balls than it is nowadays. And you think of the guys that are shooting those threes that are so different than what Mark Price is, the prototypical kind of guard shooting those threes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, back in the day, it was just those guards and maybe the three spot or the small forward that was shooting three balls, and not nearly to the extent that they're shooting them now. It's all about analytics. And you know, even though you miss more threes than you do twos, the number of threes that you make will, you know, put you ahead of the game. And so that's why you're just seeing these barrage of three-pointers going up. And, you know, it's the way the game is played now. So it is different. You've got forwards and even centers stepping out and shooting three balls because of the analytics of the game. And so until that changes, as far as you know, the way they look at the game and whether it's worthwhile. Right now, they believe it's so. So everybody's going to shoot that three.
Seems like they're getting further away from the basket. It used to be you get into the hole and you fight up into there for the ball. Now it seems to be putting it out and you say getting those three balls. When you are starting a game like that, do they tell you, Kevin Love is only a certain number away, you keep on the look for this? I mean, how are some of those sort of totals or landmark milestones kind of dictated as the game goes on?
Well, I will say, Bruce, that is one of the big differences between calling high school games and calling NBA games. The amount of information that is given to you before a ball game at the NBA level, it's just unbelievable. You know, game notes from each team, you know, a 32-page booklet before each game. We're at the high school level. I'm calling an AD 2 hours before a game saying, can you please send me a roster?
What jersey is that player going to wear tonight? I don't know. That's the one who was not in the laundry.
Right. And so, you know, there is a little bit of a difference there. So, yes, in the game notes, you have so much information. And that's generally what I'm doing during the day of a game, is really going through those notes. Like, can't use everything within the 32 pages or whatever it may be, but you try to pick out some nuggets and some tidbits that you think the listeners might be interested in. And, you know, certainly that was listed, that Kevin Love was closing in. And then as I sit in the Joe Tate perch, there's a couple of different websites, and the Cavaliers have their own special program that I can call up. So there's so much information that's being fed to us. I'd love to say that I have it all memorized, but I'd be lying if I said that.
Tim, maybe not so much now, but do you have an opportunity as well to chat with the other team's play-by-play voice to get a little more insight on the other teams?
That's a great question, Craig, because during the offseason, Mark Boyle, who is the play-by-play voice of the Indiana Pacers, did indeed say, listen, we're not going to see each other in media dining rooms or as we're sitting next to each other at broadcast locations. So why don't we set up these Zooms before each game as we're playing one another just to kind of get a feel for each other's ball club? Because a lot of times, you know, as I just said, you're sitting there having a meal before a ball game and, you know, Mark is sitting there or Chuck Swirsky from the Bulls or, you know, whoever it may be. And so, you know, what about this guy? What about this guy? How's he playing? So you exchange some information. So, yeah, we've done some of that where the announcers get together via Zoom or just on a phone call and share some tidbits back and forth as far as their individual teams are concerned. I've done that with Mark. Actually, I just did one yesterday with Chuck Swirsky from the Chicago Bulls because we played them on Saturday. Bill Schoening of the San Antonio Spurs has become a pretty good buddy of mine. We get along very well. We only play them twice a year. But so, yeah, that's a great question, and it has been something that we've tried to do this season to become just more familiar with the other team because you don't have that opportunity to interact with their coaches and players.
You kind of get it distilled through the play-by-play guy rather than sort of direct from the sources, which where you can kind of see things either in a shoot-around or maybe just from what comments they make. You kind of have sometimes, as you as a play-by-play guy, you can kind of pick up habits of the other, you know, those players. Well, you can pass them on to the other guys.
And you also get the unvarnished opinion.
Sure, right.
Mark, what do you really think? Right, and then you get the off-the-record type of thing as far as a player or whatever may be concerned. So
that's very helpful for context of everything. If you're able to understand what's going on, maybe even just some of the personal lives of some of those players, you never know what's happening. So the back-to-back, not very kind over the weekend. We got another back-to-back coming up. Charlotte on Wednesday at Charlotte, and then it's home against Golden State Warriors. Okay, tell about that. These upcoming teams. Golden State, not the Golden State we're always used to, but they're kind of struggling a little bit over there. But tell us what.
Boy, isn't that the truth? And unfortunately for Golden State, their number one draft pick, James Wiseman, was injured earlier this week or late last week, but that's going to really affect them. They've been struggling. Of course, they don't have Klay Thompson, and as you said, it's not the Golden State Warriors that we saw for four straight years in the NBA Finals. But that'll be the second game of a back-to-back as you come back home from a trip to Charlotte on Wednesday night. The good news about the Charlotte game, hopefully, again, I underline, hopefully, Jared Allen and Larry Nance will be back for the Cavaliers. And at some point, J.B. Bickerstaff is going to have the roster that he envisioned, especially after the Jared Allen trade. I think in J.B.'s mind, the lineup was going to be Jared at center with Kevin Love and Okoro, the other forwards, and, of course, Garland and Sexton in the backcourt, and they're expected back tomorrow night as well. So he has never seen that lineup, or perhaps a minute or two of that on the floor. So, boy, if we can get Allen and Nance back for tomorrow night and for the final 19 games, obviously, and Dylan Windler, throw him into the mix there as well, that really changes the dynamic of this basketball team.
Tim, can you give us the pronunciation of the gentleman they signed to a 10-day contract recently?
Fiondu Cabangeli.
What do you know about him?
Well, he was a number one draft choice a couple of years ago for Sacramento and didn't hang on with the Kings, but was signed by the Clippers, didn't get a lot of playing time. He's a raw talent. As you watch him during warm-ups and the like, you can see he's got an NBA body. There's no doubt about that, and needs some work, but he's a raw talent. He's the nephew of Dikembe Mutombo. If you remember Dikembe, the finger-waving big center.
I'm watching the Geico commercials every 10 minutes on TV.
Not in my house. Well, that's Mutombo's uncle. And Jim and I were joking the other night on the air. How would you like to have an uncle that waves a finger at you like that? Like, no, no, no.
That cereal box in that aisle with the kid, I just love that one.
So, but no, he's a raw talent, and with Nance and Windler being out, the Cavaliers were a little shorthanded in the front line. So, I guess they were interested in him on draft night a couple of years ago. They thought he had that raw talent. So, as JB said, bring him in, take a look at him, give him an opportunity to play. He's been in both ball games. Just signed that 10-day contract on Saturday and was in the lineup. Saturday and Sunday, or out on the floor, wasn't in the starting lineup. But, yeah, you can see flashes of why he was considered a pretty decent prospect.
Sounds good. Well, we look forward to the call coming up on Wednesday. You're a lead into the Indians. You know, the Indians are playing that night as well, but the Cavs will take precedent over that at 6:30 with the pregame tip-off at 7 o'clock. We look forward to your call this coming Wednesday and in the Golden State on Thursday. And as you mentioned, the Bulls on Saturday. Tim, take care.
All righty. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Tim Alcorn, the voice of the Cavs, joining us this morning here at WEOL, brought to you by Tuffy Auto Service Center.